Good morning. It's nice to be with you today. I just wanted to share with you something that's coming up at Oklahoma Christian October 5th. And I don't know how many of you know these people, but Clyde Antwine served as missionary in Germany and Switzerland for many years. He and his wife have been involved in German-speaking Europe for 60 years. He's taught at OC for 33 years as missionary in resident, and he retired a year or two ago. Bob Gregg, some of you may know that name. He's taught at preached at the Lacoma Church of Christ for many years. He's taught at Oklahoma Christian for 29 years. So we're going to honor those two men for their long years of service and teaching at Oklahoma Christian. Very solid in their faith, very good teachers. Bob Gregg turns 90 in January. He was teaching 2 years ago. I mean, teaching full speed. And the students, it surprised me. I mean, students I talked to, they said, I just love Bob Gregg. I just love Bob Gregg. And anyway, we're going to honor those two men on October 5th and in chapel. Bob and his wife were married 67 years. She passed away a few months ago. Clyde and Gwen have been married 65 years as of September the 8th. I think it's good to have people like that in front of our students. Honor them. Let them see good examples. I don't know of any scandal, bad things in their life. They just have been happy, cheerful warriors for Jesus. Just guys that just kept teaching and preaching and serving. And I think it's a beautiful example for our students to see. So I wanted to let you know about that. We've had a young man arrive from India about 7 or 8 weeks ago, I guess, named Nitish Kattapalli. And Nitish came in to do his master's degree in engineering. And a man wrote me and said, I've got a friend coming in from India. I would like you to meet him. I wrote back and said, does he have a name? When does he arrive? He wrote back and said, yes, he'll be there soon. Well, anyway, I've met him and done some things with him. And last week, I took him out to the farm out at Sayre. Anybody ever been to the farm at Sayre? Do you know anything about that? Anyway, I'm out at the farm at Sayre, and we went fishing. We checked on cattle, all new stuff to him. Imagine how many different things he's experiencing. He's had pizza for the first time in his life. Hamburger. Never had a hamburger before. So we've been doing so. About the second week, I said, I know a place that people tell me has the best Indian food in town. He said, oh, could we go there? So we went there. The people are from southern India. He's from southern India. I said, how does it taste? He said, I feel like I'm home. So we've done that two or three times. Anyway, being at a university like that, you get some interesting experiences. I had a discussion this week, Matthew chapter 15. I did that, traditions of men versus the word of God. I said, some of you don't come from a Church of Christ background, and some of you who do may not know why you don't ever see us use a piano, a guitar, a band, anything in chapel as we're singing. Anyone have any idea why? So I kind of explained that a little bit, talked through that in my class. Why we don't use instruments, don't know how many of the other professors do that, doesn't matter to me, I do it. A student wrote me back and said, I didn't understand all that. We had that discussion. Had a discussion with a young lady who wants to do mission work. So it's just really, really a good opportunity, lots of fun. I want to talk to you this morning about how does the Gospel of Matthew, what does he say about Jesus in his gospel? Eyewitnesses are important, aren't they? Eyewitnesses are important. Matthew wrote an eyewitness account of the life of Jesus Christ. Some of the things he wouldn't have been there for, all of these things, but many of the things he was. And also we would believe, per 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scriptures inspired by God. So the things he didn't see himself, God inspired him to write these things. But you'll hear some just unusual, weird things, won't you? So I just want to, we're going to run through a lot of scriptures. Everybody got your running shoes on this morning? Here we go. If you have a Holy Bible, let's pull it out and we'll read some of these verses together. Who is Jesus? I think it helps us all to remember who Jesus is and hear it from an eyewitness. Matthew 1:1, the record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Guys, what does the word Christ mean? Messiah, anointed one, chosen one from God. They were looking for the Christ to come for many years. How does Matthew start out his gospel? Jesus, he's the one. Jesus Christ, Christ was not Jesus' last name. It was a designation of who he was, who he is. He's the Christ, the chosen one, the anointed one. And then he goes on to say the son of David. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14 says to David, someone from your family, from your own lineage, will sit on the throne of God forever. What have they been doing for 1,000 years, the Israelites? Looking for that son of David who will sit on the throne forever. How does Matthew begin his gospel? The Christ, the one we've been looking for. The son of David, the one who's going to sit on the throne forever. We've been searching for this one for 1,000 years. And Matthew says, I want to tell you about him. And then he says, the son of Abraham. We all remember Genesis chapter 12. The promise then was renewed several times in Genesis that through Abraham, what? All nations on the earth would be blessed. So they're waiting for this one. Matthew starts out by saying, I want to give you the history of the people and his family. And he's the Christ. He's the son of David, sitting on the throne of God forever. And he's the son of Abraham, the one that is promised that through him, all nations, every person on the earth can be blessed. And then as he gives the genealogy, chapter 1, verse 17, he finishes with how many generations we were, and he finishes that statement in 17, the 14th, from the exile to the Christ. Chapter 1, verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. And then Matthew goes on and tells the miraculous story of Jesus being born. When we look in verse 20, Joseph considered these things. An angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Guys, what is one thing we cannot do? Deal with the sin problem on our own. And Matthew says, the one, the Christ who was born, he can save us from our sins. I would think that is good news. Verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Guys, who is that prophet? Isaiah, over 700 years before Jesus, Isaiah 7:14 prophesies that a virgin will conceive and give birth. They will call his name Emmanuel. The virgin will be a child and give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Who is Jesus Christ? God. He's God right there among the people. And Matthew is writing a eyewitness account of these things. Chapter 3, verse 17. Jesus is baptized. At the baptism of Jesus, amazing thing, the heavens are opened. The Spirit descends like a dove and lands on Jesus. And the voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Who does God acknowledge Jesus to be? His Son. His Son. Who is Matthew trying to help us all see? Jesus is the Son of God. Chapter 8, verse 28 through 29. I'm going to say to you what I say in all my classes. We should do more on this. But we're going to go through a little bit more quickly, maybe than normal. Chapter 8, verse 29, or 28 and 29. Jesus has healing. Let's see. I struggle when I teach chapters 8 and 9. Do you know why I struggle with that? There are 10 specific miracles mentioned in chapters 8 and 9. How do you do justice to the miracles of Jesus? You know what I'm saying? How do you do justice to teaching the miracles of Jesus? Okay, he arrived the other side of the region of the Gadarenes, and two demon-possessed men came out of the tombs and met him. They were so violent no one could pass that way. "What do you want to do with us, Son of God?" they shouted. "Have you come to torture us before the appointed time?" And Jesus cast the demons out. How do you do justice to that? Demon-possessed people, and Jesus sends them away. I want you to notice who acknowledges them. The demons say in verse 29 to Jesus, "What do you want to have with us, Son of God?" The enemy, the demons, they recognize who Jesus is. And they recognize him as the Son of God. Matthew's trying to help us to see all these people who were meeting Jesus. They were recognizing and acknowledging him. Chapter 9, verse 27. A miracle, another miracle I don't know how to do justice to. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." And Jesus, verse 29, touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith will it be done to you." And their sight was restored. Can you imagine those two guys? Can you imagine the demon-possessed person? The demon is gone. Here's two people that have been blind. They look and they say, "What is that?" "That is a tree." Oh, that's a tree? "That is a tree." They say, "What is that?" "That is a dog." "A dog?" Yeah. And they see a different kind of dog. "Well, what is that?" "That is also another dog, just a different kind of dog." "Oh, really? You know, what is that?" "That is a child." They're just learning everything. And Jesus immediately has opened their eyes. And again, they call him the Son of David, referring back to, probably referencing back, 2 Samuel 7, 13 through 14. Isaiah 53:4 has also said, what will Jesus do? He will take on our infirmities and he will heal us. So they're referencing back to all these things, remembering those scriptures. The Messiah, the chosen one, will bring healing. And they're seeing that over and over again in the life of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 12, verse 22 to 23, Matthew 12, 22 to 23, they brought him a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute, and Jesus healed him so he could talk and see. How do you do justice to that? A person could not talk and could not see, and Jesus heals that person. What do you think that person wanted to do? Do you think he wanted to tell everybody and talk to everyone and start to... Okay, you guys aren't going to believe this. I'm going to say something unbelievable. I don't really talk a whole lot. Oh, you're laughing. I know. I can see it. But I don't talk a whole lot. I teach when I teach. But I don't talk a whole lot. I imagine these guys, when the demon was gone and they could see, could you stop them from talking? I don't think you could. And I do have a few friends like that. But anyway, you know, unbelievable things that Jesus is doing, and Matthew's recording these things for us so we can have faith and confidence Jesus is the Son of God. You remember Matthew chapter 16. Guys, things are really getting intense by chapter 16. The Pharisees are saying, what about Jesus? He has a demon. And all the thing he's doing is because he's working with Beelzebub, the prince of demons. It's getting really hot and intense for Jesus and the apostles and his followers. And so chapter 13, Jesus, chapter 6, verse 13, chapter 16, I'm going to get that right, 16, 13, Jesus says, who are people saying that I am? What are people saying about me? And so, you know, the reply, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And what about you? You guys who are my apostles, who are my eyewitnesses, who've been with me for 2.5 to 3 years now, what do you say about me? I wonder how long there was a silence. Or I wonder if Peter just blurted it out. What did he say? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Who did his apostles, those who were with him every day, saw everything that he did, what did they say about Jesus? You're the Christ. You're the anointed one, the one we've been waiting for. And then I imagine the other apostles agreed with that as well. Chapter 20, I'm moseying on to chapter 20, verse 29 to 31. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside. When they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, what? Lord, who? Son of David, have mercy on this. The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet. They shouted all the louder, Lord, Son of David, you gotta have mercy on us. Guys, if people try to get you away from Jesus and keep you from seeing Jesus, don't let them do it. What do these guys, everybody say, be quiet, leave him alone. What did they say? No, no, no. We need Jesus. They shouted louder and louder, have mercy on us. And Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Sounds like an interesting question to two blind men, doesn't it? What do you want me to do for you? And they said, we want our sight. And Jesus had compassion on them, touched their eyes. Immediately, they received their sight and followed him. How do you do justice to that miracle of Jesus helping blind men see immediately? But what are they calling out to him? Son of David, have mercy on us. Hey, kids, you there listening? Are you kids listening? Heads up. I was going to ask you this question beforehand, and I forgot to ask you. How old do you have to be to ride a donkey into Jerusalem? I guess 21. Chapter 21, Jesus rides the donkey into Jerusalem. So if you're trying to remember where that happened, I remember how. That's a joke. That's a bad joke. You don't have to be 21 to ride a donkey into Jerusalem. It just helps me to remember that. In chapter 21, Jesus rode the donkey into Jerusalem. And as he's coming to the city, what do the people yell? Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And the whole city was stirred up. And the crowd said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Everybody is so excited. The Messiah, the Christ, Jesus, the Son of David, is coming into town. What a day of celebration as they welcomed him into Jerusalem. And guys, in chapter 22, there are three times Jesus is called teacher. And he's called teacher other times in Scripture. But I think these three times he's called teacher, it's kind of a mocking sort of way. And you notice that the Pharisees are trying to trap him. And you begin with verse 15. They laid out their plans to trap Jesus. And they said, teacher. You know, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, everybody calls you teacher. Yeah, answer this one for us then. And they tried to trap him about taxes. Then they came at him with a question about the resurrection. Again, the same, I think, mocking tone. Teacher, tell us about the resurrection. And then, lastly, they ask him the question, interesting there in chapter 22, verse 34. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. I mean, can't you learn anything, guys? Twice you've tried to trap the Son of God, Jesus the Christ, and you're going to try one more time? I mean, is God going to be able to outsmart us? I think so. Now, I think twice he's already shown them they don't understand things, and they come at him the third time and they say, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Do you guys know what in Jesus' day the Pharisees taught was the most important law? Do you know what that was? They taught the most important law was honor your father and mother. Going back to Matthew chapter 15, Jesus is his disciples are admonished because they're not washing their hands. What does Jesus say? Well, you guys, you know what you're doing? You're breaking the law of God because of your own tradition and say, whatever I have is set aside and I don't have to honor my parents with it. He's challenging them at what they said was most important. They weren't even doing it. He says, you guys are a bunch of, what did he say? Hypocrites. So here they come at him again and they say, what's the most important commandment? Jesus didn't even hesitate. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That's it. But I think again, they were identifying Jesus, but I think maybe in a bit of a mocking way in chapter 22, and he deals with all their questions. I'm going to go on to chapter 27. There's a few other examples here, but I want to go to chapter 27, verse 17, when Pilate is doing the, let's see, mock trial, I guess you could say, of Jesus and Barabbas. And he says, who shall I release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one? Who do you guys want? And who was he saying this to? The Jewish religious leaders. And what did they say? Release Barabbas. And then chapter 27, verse 22, Pilate said, what shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? Even Pilate is acknowledging that many of the people recognize Jesus as the Christ. And the last scripture I'd like for us to look at, and again, I know we've rushed through these. I apologize for that. But I just wanted to give us a big overall picture of what Matthew says about Jesus. The last one I'd like us to look at is chapter 27, verse 54. 27, verse 54. At the crucifixion of Jesus, there is an earthquake. Do you remember what happened? Matthew records for us in verse 51. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. Isn't that incredible? So this is happening at the crucifixion of Jesus. They came out of their tombs and came to the holy city. And verse 54, when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake, all that had happened, they were terrified and they exclaimed, surely he was the Son of God. Who is saying that? The centurion, the Roman centurion. Surely he was the Son of God. Guys, as we've gone through the Gospel of Matthew, eyewitnesses proclaim what? Well, there's apostles, there's sinners, there's people who had demons. There are the demons themselves. There are people who are healed. There are soldiers. And what are they saying about Jesus? He's the Christ. He's the Son of David. He is the Son of God. I believe Jesus wants us to come to him, realizing who he is as identified by eyewitnesses, not just those who are his followers, but even those who are not his followers, that he was the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus wants us to come to him in faith, accepting the eyewitness testimony of Matthew and the other gospel writers of who Jesus was, that he was the Christ, and he wants us to accept him, and he wants us to live our lives for him, to listen to his teachings and make those the guides for our life. A lot of different people in the Gospel of Matthew acknowledge who Jesus was and is. And today, many people are trying to convince us otherwise. I'd encourage you, just go back to Scripture, to eyewitness accounts. We've heard these last few years, is it pretty hard to sort out the truth through the media? Wowie zowie. My head spins sometimes. And just this last week, an eyewitness account of something that happened, a photographer said, this is what I saw. And other people are saying something completely different. I don't know. I like eyewitness accounts. I like people who were there. Have you ever been there and actually seen something happen and then other people tell a different story? Eyewitness accounts are very important. Matthew, eyewitness account of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who will save us from our sins, God with us. I hope and pray that you will continue loving God, following Him, having Him as the most important thing in your life. If you're not a Christian and you would like to come to Christ today, turn from your sins, acknowledge Him, confess Him, and before us and be baptized into Him. We'd love to see you do that, to acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God, the one who can save us from our sins. If there's any way that we can help you this morning, please come and let us know as we stand and sing together.